Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Katie Weaver, Anna Mateo, and Brian Lynn. Later, we will present the next part in our series on America's national parks. But first, here is Katie Weaver.
The last time musician John Jones performed in public with his group Eli Young Band was March 8th. The spread of COVID-19 in the United States forced a halt to the large crowds that gather for music shows. But now, Eli Young Band has a possible workaround. In June, it plans to perform live once again with a drive-in series of shows at the Texas Rangers' new baseball stadium in Arlington. This is going to be a surreal kind of setting, Jones said. About 400 cars full of people are expected to attend the show. Audience members will be required to stay in their vehicles as the artists perform. As states start to reopen businesses, music industry organizers are testing out new models of smaller, socially distant concerts. Jones is hopeful that drive-in concerts might help widen the path toward a restart of traditional shows. The four-night series called Concert in Your Car is set to open June 4th. Tickets to the event sold quickly. Band manager George Corey set up the series in partnership with the Rangers baseball team. It's about creating an experience for live music again, said Corey. The big driver for me is to prove it can work. It would give people hope that this can be repeated again and again in many different places. The drive-in concert idea has been tried before. American music star Keith Urban performed at a drive-in theater in Tennessee last week. He used a smaller crew than usual, and production elements were limited. But Urban suggests the industry will expand on the current drive-in concert model. The stage is going to be coming out to the parking lot, and people will be staying in their cars, said Urban. Concert organizer Live Nation is planning to test fanless concerts, drive-in concerts, and reduced-capacity shows, says President and CEO Michael Rapino. He spoke about the idea on a teleconference call with investors. Tailgate Fest in California had already proved before the pandemic that car-centered concerts could be successful. The country music event, where fans are encouraged to watch from their trucks, cars, and other vehicles, is going into its third year this August. Tailgate Fest's leader, Melissa Carbone, says a lot of changes are coming to the event because of the coronavirus, including the cancellation of some gatherings. But music stars Dierks Bentley and the groups Lynyrd Skynyrd and TLC still plan to perform. Nobody wants to see live music go away, said Carbone. For most bands, live shows are a major moneymaker. But Corey said the launch of the drive-in concerts at the Texas Stadium will see more limited earnings. The fee for admission is $40 a car. no food or goods will be available for sale. All bands will play acoustically so as to reduce production workers. And attendees will listen to the music over their car radios. Eli Young Band's John Jones says the group is not doing the drive-in concert to make up for lost earnings only. He said the band also wants to give music back to the fans. I think people need something safe that they can go do. And if we can be that, Jones said, that's awesome. I'm Katie Weaver.
Parents around the world often urge children, over and over, wash your hands. This advice was already common before the coronavirus crisis. Now there is added pressure on children, as well as adults, to wash their hands even more. It can be difficult, however, to get children to remember to wash, and many are likely to resist. But what if washing hands was connected to a fun, creative activity? What if, instead of simply reaching for the soap, a machine could drop it right into your hands? Well, such a machine was recently built by a boy and his sister in the U.S. state of Maryland as part of a creative competition. The not-for-profit Rube Goldberg organization is holding the competition. Rube Goldberg was an American cartoonist, engineer, and inventor, among other things. He was known for his complex chain reaction machines. On the organization's website, Goldberg's granddaughter, Jennifer George, describes such a machine as an overly complex, wacky contraption that in the end does a very simple task. Every year, the Rube Goldberg competition considers inventions made from everyday items that use complex systems to carry out a simple task. At first, the task for 2020 was supposed to be turn on a light. But when the coronavirus pandemic happened, the task was changed to drop a bar of soap into someone's hand. Here are some tasks from past competitions. Open an umbrella. Water a plant. Make a cup of coffee. Turn on a radio. The task is not the only thing that has changed this year because of the pandemic. Most of those taking part in the competition are school children. In past years, they created the machines in person and on teams at school. But with schools closed to slow the spread of the virus, organizers changed the rules. This year, the team can include any family members or quarantined groups. People were asked to send in videos of the machines to compete. One thing has not changed. The machine must complete the task in 10 to 20 steps. In Maryland, the Deal family wanted to enter. So 11-year-old Caitlin and her 13-year-old brother Ben designed and built their own Rube Goldberg machine. Next, they had to demonstrate that it could complete the task, throwing the soap just right to be caught in someone's hand. Dressed in her bathing suit, Caitlin waited in the shower as Ben started the chain reaction machine from the other end. Here are some of the steps they used. First, a marble dropped into a tube that sent a toy train speeding to hit a deodorant stick. The deodorant stick went flying into a stuffed toy animal, a rabbit. The toy rabbit then raced along a zip line to shoot a bar of soap. After 6 hours and 106 failed attempts, they finally had success. The soap dropped right into Caitlin's waiting hands. With their video demonstration, they can now enter the competition. Ben said that remembering all the times he and his family spent building the machine together had made great memories. Caitlin said, now when she hears "wash your hands," she thinks of the Rube Goldberg machine that drew her family together. Jennifer George said this year's competition was designed in part to keep families busy and active during long-term stay-at-home orders. The program also aims to teach important lessons with creativity, artistic expression, and just plain fun, she added. As the United States and other countries begin slowly reopening, health experts say hand washing remains an important protection against the coronavirus. However, if children are thinking about a deadly virus each time they wash their hands, mental health experts say they may feel afraid. So a fun competition may help to create good feelings about a task they must do over and over again. Dr. Anne Glowinski teaches child psychiatry at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. She told the Reuters news agency that creativity and play connects with children. It is better than the message we have to wash our hands because of this horrible virus, Glowinski added. But if you do not have the time to make a Rube Goldberg machine, singing a song during hand washing is fun too. So far, the Rube Goldberg competition has drawn more than 200 entries worldwide. Winners are to be announced on June 7th. People creating the best and strangest machines will receive Rube Goldberg gift bags. The bags include books, water bottles, light-up hats, and other fun items. I'm Ana Mateo.
SpaceX is making history by aiming to be the first private company to launch American astronauts into orbit. But the company is breaking new ground in other ways, too. It has designed a completely new style or look for its astronauts and spaceship. The space suits for NASA astronauts Robert Behnken and Douglas Hurley appear much thinner than traditional designs from the past. The smooth suits are mostly white with some gray. They look similar to futuristic clothing shown in many science fiction movies. The helmets, also white, have a narrower shape than the past. SpaceX founder Elon Musk was the driving force behind the designs. Musk, who also heads electronic car maker Tesla, is a big science fiction fan. He is known for his colorful product launches. He came up with the idea to have the two astronauts get a ride to the launch pad at Florida's Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in a Tesla Model X sports car. Behnken and Hurley aim to be the first astronauts to launch from American soil since the last space shuttle flight in 2011. They say they like the fresh new look of the suits and space capsule. It is really neat, and I think the biggest testament to that is my 10-year-old son telling me how cool I am now, Hurley told the Associated Press. The inside of the capsule is also mostly white and minimal, with large seats facing the spacecraft's displays and controls. SpaceX has gone all out on the capsule's appearance, Hurley added. And they've worked equally as hard to make the innards and the displays and everything else in the vehicle work to perfection. The designs demonstrate the historic new direction NASA is taking as it partners with private American companies to develop U.S. spaceflight systems. Until now, only governments, including the United States, Russia, and China, have sent astronauts into orbit. SpaceX's Crew Dragon spacecraft, carried by a Falcon 9 rocket, will carry the astronauts. Musk named the rocket after the famous Millennium Falcon spacecraft from Star Wars. SpaceX designed and built its own suits, which were made to perfectly fit each individual astronaut, said SpaceX's Benji Reed. He said safety came first in the design and manufacturing. But their cool look was a close second. It's important that the suits are comfortable and also are inspiring, Reed said. But above all, it's designed to keep the crew safe, he added. Even with all the modern extras, the two astronauts prepared for the launch inside the same Kennedy Space Center building that dates back to space flights from the 1960s. I'm Brian Lynn.
People may have questions about the new coronavirus. Can it survive in cold weather? Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of these questions is no. But there are ways to protect yourself. Wash your hands. Cover your cough. Stay at home if you are sick or advised by local authorities. For more information, visit the following websites. The World Health Organization at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Today, on our national parks journey, we visit a mountainous landscape on America's East Coast. Within the park are rocky peaks, rolling green hills, and spectacular waterfalls. It is also home to hundreds of black bears. Welcome to Shenandoah National Park in the state of Virginia. Shenandoah sits in the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains. The mountains are part of the larger Appalachian Mountain Range. The park's hiking trails, waterfalls, and wildlife appeal to nature lovers and adventurers. Shenandoah National Park is perhaps best known for the road that goes through it, Skyline Drive.
Skyline Drive runs nearly 170 kilometers north to south. It is the only road in the park. There are more than 70 overlooks along the way, where people can pull their car off the road. These overlooks provide visitors with beautiful views of the Shenandoah Valley. The road was built in the 1930s, at a time when the automobile was becoming popular. Shenandoah's north entrance lies less than 120 kilometers from Washington, D.C. Early planners wanted a major national park like those in the American West, here on the East Coast, close to big cities. In fact, Shenandoah was described as an Eastern park in the Western tradition. And early park planners wanted Skyline Drive to be the single greatest feature of the park.
Denise Machado is a park ranger at Shenandoah. She explains that the park soon became a place for people to escape the noise and heat of big cities.
It was created just so people could kind of get away, a place to escape the big city and the hustle and bustle, the pre-air-conditioned days. You know, this was the place to be. The temperatures were about 10 degrees cooler up here on the mountain.
But Shenandoah's history is not without controversy. To create the place that park planners envisioned, many families were forced to leave behind properties in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Shenandoah National Park was formed from more than 3,000 individual land purchases. They were presented to the federal government by the Commonwealth of Virginia. Shenandoah officially became a national park in 1936. Today, most of the buildings and structures that once stood in the area are long gone. But you can find some signs of the past. A log building called Corbin Cabin still stands. George Corbin, who built the log structure, was forced to leave the land in the late 1930s, just after the creation of the national park. Today, the cabin is operated by the Potomac Appalachian Trail Club. The club permits people to rent the cabin.
Shenandoah National Park has more than 800 kilometers of hiking trails. They take visitors to rocky mountain peaks, grassy meadows, and forested canyons. Hikers are especially drawn to the park's famous waterfalls.
The waterfalls are definitely the most popular. We have 9 waterfalls. Dark Hollow Falls is our most popular. It's a beautiful waterfall. It's a 70-foot waterfall. It's a 1.4-mile hike round trip. It follows along a stream, and you're right at the base of the falls looking up, and you can feel the spray, and, you know, it's a really great experience.
Grace Williams hiked to Dark Hollow Falls with her daughter on her birthday.
My daughter's gift for me to bring me to the national park, and it's on my bucket list. So I always love falls. I like the sound. Water is refreshing. So they did tell us it's a kind of like a moderate hike. I do have knee problems, but I just wanted to challenge it, and I'm glad I came. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Another of Shenandoah's famous hikes is called Old Rag. It is almost 15 kilometers long. To get to the top of Old Rag Mountain, hikers must scramble up large rocks. It is a long and difficult hike, but the views from the top bring hikers from all across the country and world.
Because it is close to many big cities, Shenandoah's trails are often crowded with people. More than 1 million people visit the park each year. Although Shenandoah was created to be an easy escape from big East Coast cities, today it sees visitors from all over the world.
It's amazing how many people you meet that come from far-flung countries and corners of the world. We've had people from Africa. We get a lot of people from Germany, France, Sweden, Netherlands. So you just never know where they're going to come from.
Machado says summer and fall are the most popular times to visit the park. While summer is a good time to enjoy the waterfalls, the fall brings beautiful autumn colors. In the middle of October, the trees begin to lose their leaves. The leaves change from green to different shades of yellow, orange, and red as winter approaches. On weekends in October, it can take up to 2 hours just to get into the park.
Visitors to Shenandoah National Park have a good chance of seeing a black bear. The park is home to between 400 to 600 black bears. It has one of the densest black bear populations of any national park. Denise Machado knows a lot about these black bears. In fact, her nickname is the Bear Lady.
Well, I am known in Shenandoah as the Bear Lady. I see a lot of bears every season. I'm in the park early in the morning, late in the evening. I see anywhere from, 400 or so bears every year. And it's wonderful to see. I never get tired of seeing them. They're all different and they're all special.
Machado gives visitors advice for what to do if they see a black bear.
So if you see a bear, you want to clap your hands, say, "Hey, bear, hey, bears." They really don't like to be startled. You don't want to try and sneak up on them to get a photo or anything. You want to make sure that they are totally aware you're there.
Malachi and his older brother Brent visited Shenandoah National Park with their parents. The family traveled here from Cincinnati, Ohio. The family hiked the Little Stony Man Trail. Along the way, they came upon a black bear.
I really liked how we could see the animals. We saw a really big bear, and he was really friendly, and he didn't do anything. He was just eating.
The park's bears and other wildlife are a big part of what attracts so many visitors to Shenandoah. Carol Bear and her husband visited the park from York, Pennsylvania. She said visiting Shenandoah is like a breath of fresh air.
It's just quieter. You hear the birds, you look at trees different. The wind blowing through the fields is just really neat.
Oh, Shenandoah, I long to hear you.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.